take the word to you. You may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. I'm Katie Jalowski, Douglas County Circuit Public Defender on behalf of Rose AG. This is a case about the juvenile court's disregard for the law when it modifies Rose AG's dispositional order without following the applicable statutory procedure. In changing the term of Rose AG's disposition, in essence, extending Rose AG's probation indefinitely, the juvenile court ignored the rationally revised statute 43-286, subsection 5. The procedure for changing an existing disposition. In addition to the statutory procedural flaws, the juvenile court's procedure denied Jose an opportunity to challenge the change in his probationary term, and he was denied due process as a result.
Isn't that due process argument simple? We have to get to that. Isn't the statutory argument sufficient in and of itself?
I think the statutory argument is sufficient. I think it's intertwined with the due process argument. The court did not follow.
Your due process argument, as I understand it, is that the court denied your client due process because it exceeded its statutory authority.
Correct. And also that the procedures that the juvenile court did employ at the review hearing, which resulted in the dispositional change, was entirely void of due process related to the dispositional change that the juvenile court subsequently ordered.
So, I guess I return to my previous question. I haven't yet, you haven't explained to me yet, if it's possible to do, why the statutory argument in and of itself isn't sufficient to dispose of this case.
I think it is sufficient to dispose of this case. In the alternative, I think the due process argument also is applicable.
Thank you.
So here, the juvenile court changed Jose's disposition without pleading, without a request for a dispositional change by any of the parties, without notice, without a hearing as to a dispositional change, without any evidence warranting a dispositional modification, and without the statutory required findings. So the juvenile court erred in extending Jose's probation indefinitely, as it had the effect of revoking his probation without following the statutory procedure outlined by the Nebraska legislature. So the juvenile court did not comply with the applicable statutory procedures in changing the terms of Jose's probation, and thereby also denied his due process rights.
Wasn't a motion to revoke a prerequisite to changing the probation?
Yes, it was. And pursuant to the...
So how can you follow statutory procedures that are premised upon the existence of something that hasn't been filed or at least has been withdrawn?
Your Honor, that's my point, is that in this case, the state was required to file a motion to revoke.
And it did, and then withdrew it.
Correct. And at the hearing...
Shouldn't that be the end of the story right there?
Yes, I believe it should be the end of the story. At that point in time, once the motion to revoke was withdrawn, the court should not continue with what it called a review hearing. It was the end of the story. The motion to revoke, the reason why Jose was in court that day, ceased to exist. And he had no notice, no idea what the court was even reviewing when the court prompted the state to...
What was the court doing? What's the review hearing?
Evidently, the court wanted to review the terms and conditions of Jose's probation without following the statutory procedure. Typically, a review hearing does not occur in a case like this in juvenile court where a child is placed in the home on a probationary term.
Now, since the time of your hearing, there's been a statutory change that would empower the court to reduce or eliminate conditions of probation regardless of the existence of a motion to revoke. Are you aware of that?
No, Your Honor.
Okay, well, assume that that's the case. This still wouldn't fit into that because it doesn't reduce or eliminate, indeed, it increases, right?
Yes. This, the court eliminated the 6 months probation term. He had an automatic termination date of August 28, 2017, and the court's order on July 7, 2017 extended Jose's probation indefinitely. It canceled the auto term date without setting an actual date of probation termination.
Now, associated with this was an allegation of a new violation. And if that had proceeded on the new allegation, and if it had been adjudicated, and if it was disposed by probation, that would have resulted in an additional probation for the separate violation. Correct?
Correct.
But none of that's present.
None of that in front of it. The motion to revoke initially filed that was withdrawn, alleged a new allegation, but again, at the hearing that Jose had on July 5th, 2017, there was no evidence of the new allegation presented, and at that point in time, that separate case had not been adjudicated, and it wasn't a part of the underlying case at all.
One other question that I have for you is this case still in live controversy, or because of subsequent events, is it now moved?
I don't believe that this case is moved. Despite subsequent events, Jose was still aggrieved and his rights violated and the statutory procedure was not followed on July 7, 2017. And so despite the potential of a separate case, the underlying case, which he now is on indefinite probation and subject still to the court's jurisdiction, that still remains in on probation. And so that's just hanging out there without any real resolution when his auto term date for his probation was initially August 28, 2017, and here we are months later, he's still on probation.
So are you telling us that the county attorney's office filed some separate charge against him?
There was a separate charge filed, which I believe is in the bill of exceptions. But again, at the review hearing, the validity of that allegation, there was no evidence presented to the court and no finding.
I'm not asking you to go beyond the record, and that's why I haven't asked if there's a subsequent probation order. But if there was, conceivably, that could moot this particular case, correct?
Potentially, and then I guess I would argue that still his due process rights, he was, were not followed. Even if the statutory procedure wasn't followed and there was a subsequent case with a probation order, you still have two independent cases where you have potentially different probation requirements. If there was a subsequent case where a child was on probation, the cases are independent. So this is the only allegation with this case and he's still on probation. So I don't think it would be moved in that circumstance.
Are there other consequences of the error about which you complain? If there comes a repeat offender or things of that nature?
Well, if he remains on probation, if I'm understanding your question correctly, and he picks up additional charges, that can potentially lead to collateral consequences for the underlying case as well as any potential new cases. So while he's on probation, there are specific terms he has to abide by. So if he were to pick up a violation, he does run the risk of being fouled in an underlying case. So I guess ultimately I would just highlight that Section 43-286 is the statute that governs an existing disposition, and evidently there's a substantial change to the statutes governing where a juvenile disposition can be modified. However, the procedures for changing an existing disposition are laid out in subsection 5 of that statute in subsection B, and at the very least requires a motion with specific factual allegations for the revocation hearing, service, a hearing, and also a finding of a violation before a modification can occur for an existing disposition. And so the court may modify terms and conditions of a juvenile's probation when a violation has been alleged, the proper procedure followed, and the court finds that that allegation is in fact true. In this instance, there was no hearing. There was no evidence presented of a probation violation. And the court, instead, without having a hearing, without the opportunity for closing and cross-examining, present evidence, he was ordered indefinitely, essentially, to participate in probation. And so with that, I would just ask the court to reverse the juvenile court's July 5th, 2017 order, which in effect revoked his probation and placed him indefinitely on a probationary period without following the statutory procedures and without due process. Thank you.
Thank you very much. States waived its right to file a brief in this matter, so...